An historic deal to slash global oil output, but is it enough? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Oil-producing nations and their allies this weekend agreed to cut crude oil output by 9.7 million barrels a day. That's about a tenth of global supply. Economist Cornelia Meyer says this might be the end of a price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia, but it likely doesn't spell the end of short-term pain for the oil sector.
We had a demand destruction of between 20 and 35%, if not more, because of the coronavirus. And so you had all this crude that's being produced is exacerbated by the war for market share between Saudi Arabia and Russia, which had nowhere to go. So storage is filling up. And as countries are replenishing their strategic reserves, which will have happened by some stage soon, there is no storage left. So something had to give. And 10 million barrels, it gives us some respite, but it's not going to do the trick.
How quickly, realistically, then, can we expect oil demand to recover as countries around the world begin to ease their lockdown restrictions?
It depends on how quickly are lockdown decisions abandoned and how quickly can air travel resume. I don't see that to happen too quickly. Then it also depends on what will this whole dislocation of supply chains do in the longer run, because we may see more regionalization of supply chains. And when you ship less things for not such a big distance, then it will have an impact on oil demand.
Economist Cornelia Meyer, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Oil prices had rallied about 5% on the back of that decision. Now, though, Brent crude is down about 2.5% to $30.85 a barrel. Elsewhere, Asia stocks saw a broad decline today, while European markets are closed for the Easter Monday holiday. Marguerite Vestager, the EU's competition commissioner, though, told the Financial Times sharp stock market declines during the coronavirus pandemic have made businesses vulnerable to takeovers by Chinese rivals. She suggested European governments buy stakes in domestic companies to shield them from such efforts. Meanwhile, governments across Europe are weighing the risks and benefits of reopening their economies after shutting them to halt the coronavirus spread. Spain, one of the hardest hit nations on the continent, is first to make the move, as the BBC's Damian McGuinness reports.
Today, Spain will allow people in industries such as manufacturing and construction to go back to work. And tomorrow, Italy will also let more businesses reopen. The government there says loosening restrictions is crucial for the economy and for people's psychological health. In both countries, there will be strict safety guidelines in firms to limit the spread of infection. And Spain will hand out millions of masks to workers. In Germany, pressure is also growing from businesses for a plan on how to exit the lockdown. The challenge facing all these governments, though, is how to get the economy going again without sparking a fresh wave of infections.
Damian McGuinness there. For New York's Broadway and London's West End, the show must not go on in the age of coronavirus. For the thousands of entertainment professionals who work on stage, that's meant income has dried up. But it doesn't mean the bills stop coming. So two entertainers explain how they're making ends meet now at local grocery stores.
Hello there, my name's Lara Rebecca Harvey, and I'm an opera singer. I've currently got a job working in Lidl as shelf stocker, and you could say I've become a bouncer, really, as I've done the one in, one out outside of the store.
So I'm Thomas Inge, and I am a dancer and actor, usually, and I was in Saturday Night Fever tour until all this kind of hit. So I started at Tesco 2 weeks ago and was just on checkout, and I actually got a promotion, which is nice, as a team leader.
So Thomas, how are you finding the transition from one job to the other? Obviously a promotion is a big deal so early on.
Oh, it's weird. It's just all a huge amount of change, but it's nice to be busy. That's what I'm most grateful for.
Laura, how has this impacted you financially?
In the space of a week, pretty much all my work got cancelled. it all happens so quickly. I'm not entirely sure what hourly rate I'm on, and I'm not entirely sure when I'm actually getting paid.
Oh, wow. So neither of you knows what exactly.
Not exactly. No.
So when you signed the contract with your respective grocery stores, what did they tell you?
I hadn't even finished the application online, and I got the call straight away saying, can you come to the store at 2 o'clock today and sign the contract? And I was like, amazing, I need the job, yes. And I don't really remember hearing what wage I was. I remember Googling it myself and thinking, okay, I think that's what I'm on.
I was kind of the same. I think because my twin is kind of a part of Tesco, so they knew of me at the store that I'm working in. So it was much more like, oh, just come in, we'll sign this, we'll get you straight doing something.
Obviously, there's no timeline for when life will return to normal. But does it involve going back full time to the theatre in your case, Thomas?
Well, hopefully. I've got a contract that's supposed to be starting end of June. London, UK tour around the world. It's like my dream show. So I'm really hoping it happens.
And what about you, Laura?
Well, I already know that the contract I was due to do was June and July, and that's already been cancelled. So I'm hoping everything will return to normal come September. That's the month I'm aiming for.
Indeed, this crisis has forced a lot of us to rethink the way at least our lives operate for a time. Laura Harvey, opera singer, and Thomas Ng, musical theater actor. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll have more with Laura and Thomas on Marketplace.org later today. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.